Welcome to Security Guy Radio. As is 2016 in beautiful, sultry, sweaty Orlando, Florida.
Yes, too sunny today.
It's a little too sunny for me. Yeah. Caroline, how you been?
I've been good.
I'm so glad to have you back. Give us the name of your company again.
Risk and Security, LLC.
And tell me what you guys do.
What we do is we make risk assessment software. We go out and do risk assessments. And recently, we've switched to active shooter assessments for most of our business.
This is very big.
So we have a whole active shooter program for anybody who's worried about having an incident and never had it. We will do your risk assessment for active shooters specifically. We will come in and do training for your entire staff in large groups. And we will do a tabletop or a full drill for you. And plus, we teach your staff situational awareness while we're there.
So there's a lot of components to this. One you're talking about here with the software is predictability, probability. What's the best word to use for that?
Reproducibility.
Reproducibility, okay.
Reproducibility.
All right,
explain
that.
You can take the same bunch of information and have 10 different people do an assessment for 10 different facilities, and they match up apples to apples, to oranges. So you can take it and do an assessment here at the convention center in Orlando, and then you can go to Johannesburg, South Africa, and do an assessment of their convention center, and they're going to match up.
So as long as we have the data input being consistent, we're going to have data output or predictability that's consistent. That's
exactly right.
The problem now is that I might ask 10 questions in this venue and 500 questions in some other venue, and I'm not going to get the same result on that.
That's right. That's
And your database, so to speak, is the best way to describe it, right?
Yes.
It's keeping track of this data, and
that's where
the analysis comes in. That's what's unique about what you do.
That's
a lot
right.
of people say, you know, oh, I got 30 questions I'm going to ask, and that's going to give you a number five. Well, that doesn't...
What's five?
Questions don't give me the data. The data.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I've got also a new watchword for everybody out there who's here in the best year of security to date is... compliance. There's only two reasons anybody does an assessment or anything with or buys a security control. One is compliance, and number two is liability.
Yeah.
That's the whole deal. You want to prove you're compliant with all these new regulations like the new CMS emergency preparedness. It just was finalized 2 days ago. And also you want to reduce liability for your company or your agency or whatever. And the only way you can do that is by identifying the proper threats and offsetting them with matching controls.
So I go out and teach active shooter response, you know, some physical responses. Here's what you do. You run, you duck, you know, all that kind of stuff we do. And people find it valuable.
I call it tactical.
There you go. That's a good way to describe it. Exactly. And what I find is still some resistance to implementing that training because people say, well, you know, if I admit that, then there's a problem. Then I can't. If nothing else, they could use this at the grocery store.
Yep.
Maybe it's not on your company. Maybe it's someplace else.
That's right.
What are you finding is the resistance? We talked about this a few years ago. Has the resistance to this training changed?
Completely.
And what is it, a new resistance, or what is it?
There's no resistance. I find almost zero resistance now.
Right. So a couple years ago, we had a problem.
Since Umpqua.
Yeah.
Since San Bernardino, since the Orlando Pulse shooting, I find zero resistance in...
Well, that's a good shift.
That's a good, because security is sexy. Security is hot. Everybody
right.
wants security now, and you know who's pushing it. It's not coming from the outside vendors who want to sell something or manufacture something. It's coming from the results of the assessments that show that their staff doesn't feel safe in their facility.
Now, that's a very good point. When I do these training things, I go around, and there's usually some HR rep in the class, or there's somebody from, you know, legal or something there. But what happens after the class is I get all these evaluations of, why was I never told this 20 years ago?
Right.
And we need more of this training.
That's right.
And then you become too popular, and sometimes you don't get to come back for that. But
yes.
The people like the training.
They feel
like they have control over their life.
That's right.
That
they feel like you've given them a tool. And
they're
and
grateful
I think
from the employer.
They're grateful. And not only are they grateful, how can I say this? They feel like their employer cares about them and cares about their personal safety.
Exactly.
Because he gave it to them.
Exactly.
That all these, especially like you look at healthcare, and they just signed, I said, this new rule about emergency preparedness. And you go out and interview these nurses. They don't feel safe. They go, the parking lot gives me the creeps.
I've heard that.
It's too dark at night after 5. They had these doors locked down, and then they changed it. So now they're not. So somebody can come up behind them and shoot them or stab them. And it's highly likely at some settings.
Especially an ER environment or something where that's
That's a big driver for nurses, too, about where they want to work is where they feel safe. And they don't have to be safe. but you give them the feeling that you're listening to them and you care. That's the biggest thing, even at universities and things like that. They need panic alarms. They need to be able to do something if something happens. And right now they can't do anything. They have no tools. The security officers have nothing. They don't have pepper spray. They don't have a taser. You know, everybody's got nothing. And the number of incidents is going up so wildly that if I showed you this thing from 1966, 2015, it's a flat line across the bottom, and then it shoots up like 800%.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and everybody knows somebody who's been involved
right.
now. There's a, every state has had an active shooter. Every single state had active yeah. shooter incident.
Well, you know, I think one of the disconnects is that homicide is, quote, down.
Yep.
But that's only because medical science is up.
Yep.
I can save you faster.
That's right.
And
that's
that
right.
doesn't mean, but the acts of violence are exponentially higher. That's the problem.
And,
right.
and not only that, there's so many more people who want to do us harm.
Right.
And they feel justified now. I've done a lot of research, and I've been, of course, teaching active shooter for 20 years, but it's all about why that these active, if you compare all these different incidences I have, you can see that they feed off of each other. So like the guy at the Lafayette theater shooting who killed those people completely randomly, he identified with Dylann Roof in Charleston. He killed people for Dylann Roof who didn't even know about it.
Right.
And a lot of these things are feeding off each other, and there's so many now that it makes it easier to do that. And there's no way you can prevent it. There's nothing you can do except do a proper risk assessment and make sure that your staff is situationally aware.
Now tell me how your software works.
My software works by inputting information, which is threat data,
okay.
about how likely threats have occurred in similar organizations in the past.
So you're prompting
or
them
city.
To define what a threat is, because they may not know what a threat is, really.
Right.
Okay. That's part of the software. It's like,
well, we teach them what a threat is.
Okay.
And we define it, not teach them. They already know what it is. They just don't know what the definition we use is.
I see. Okay.
That's a thing. What do you mean by active shooter? Well, I used to mean 2 years ago it meant anybody who, if you have three or more people who are shot or injured, it's an active shooter. Well, they changed that. So now it's anybody who tries to kill people or injure people in a confined or populated area.
When did they change it?
They changed it in September of 2014. The FBI came out with a new guideline on active shooter.
I thought it also changed it to say, you know, if four people are shot but nobody dies, that's not an active shooter.
Nope, changed it.
All right, because that was ridiculous.
Changed it since that was ridiculous, yeah.
Anybody comes in and shoots one guy, that if they miss everybody, it's still a shooter.
And another interesting change that they made was to say it's not just guns anymore. It's knives. It's machetes.
Yeah.
Okay. We had a guy at UC, went to his engineering class at UC Merced up in Central Valley, University of California, most prestigious school. And I'm just saying that because I graduated from there. But anyway, that in that school, this 18-year-old engineering student gets up at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, goes to the school with a kitchen knife and stabs four people trying to kill him. He was a lone wolf terrorist. He was screaming out, you know, phrases while he was stabbing people. And it turned out he was on the active shooter list, the terrorist watch list.
Oh.
But they didn't bother to tell the local police, the university police, or the administration.
Well, let's talk about that. It's data sharing, all right?
Yes.
Everybody has a silo. Company A is not going to tell Company B what their data is. But maybe they should.
If it's a federal government and the company is paying for the data out of our tax dollars
right.
to protect us, they should... They should tell the CEO of a university or a hospital if somebody in their employee or student is on the active shooter watch list.
Well, that I agree with.
Yeah.
I've seen some situations where there's a lot of crowdsourcing. Well, crowdsourcing is a way to describe data collection. There's some apps that go around and collect data on traffic. We know what that is, and we know that we can navigate traffic better. Now there's some apps that go around collecting data on threats, crimes, issues in your neighborhood. And when you put that in a database and you collect it for 10 years, now you become your own single source of very valuable information for that particular area because you have a microscopic view right there.
That's right.
You have data that's unique to Caroline and your assessment and what you've come up with in your intellectual property. Are you finding as you keep doing this for more and more years, you're now having a specific data set that's kind of unique to your view? In other words, your questions are standardized to collect data
But
and do some foreseeability,
that's
right?
That's right, Chuck. But our questions match compliance standards. That's the difference.
No, and that's a huge difference.
We don't just ask a question to
right.
ask a question.
Right.
Like, is the sky blue today? What color is the grass? Green, great. No, we ask, like, do you have this standard in place? Have you implemented this control? Do your security officers, do your staff members know who to call if there's an incident?
Yeah, that's what's unique about what you do as a compliance part. Yes. Now, do you have any statistic that you've used to crunch your data from your clients, not by names, of course, right? But did you find that out of 100 clients, 85 did not have this component when I came there? Something like that.
I could get that, but I haven't done it yet.
Okay.
The more interesting statistic for me that I've just noticed this year is, here's a list of all the controls that a normal large facility should have in place,
right,
like this convention center. And so,
Get me started on this place.
Let's say that there are 42 controls. That's my number that they should have in place, or 65, whatever. And so, you know, what I find is that I've started to go back every 3 months with these clients. They do it the first time, and here's all the things that they need to do by return on investment, prioritized by bang for the buck. Go through, look at that, and I come back 3 months later, and amazingly, some people will have cut that list in half. They've already implemented, because a lot of these things don't cost anything. They're just a policy change.
Exactly.
But they won't do it. And so
they do it the first time, and then that's it.
No, I've got people who don't even do it the first time. They pay all this money to have an assessment done, and then
they don't implement.
They don't, even the free things, they don't implement, because they're afraid of change. That's the deal.
Well, that's
everybody's afraid of change. But now I think, because of the outcry from the staff members and the number of incidents and the number of random people killed, I think there'll be a lot more of this. And it should be that, so that they can understand, not tactical. Tactical active shooter training to a bunch of women, they're never going to stab a guy in the face with their pin. They just are not going to knock his eye out with their pin. They just can't do it. I couldn't do it, you know? And they need to know how to manage it for where they're at. You know, you can always build on it later, but they need some basic awareness. And the basic awareness is, it could happen to you anytime, any day, any place. And for me, to tell the employer, it's the gift that keeps on giving, because it works at the mall, it works at church on Sunday, it works in a restaurant, it works everywhere. Those are all places, including hair salons, where we've had active shooter incidents.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nobody's immune from it. And the thing I like about your approach is, and to me, it's a no-brainer. I'm a guy that, I used to run Fox and Disney, right?
Absolutely.
I got a lot of moving parts there. And what I don't need to worry about is some regulation from 1927 that nobody knows about that I was supposed to do that I forgot about. But you know what? You know about it. And to me, it's a no-brainer to say, let's plug all this data in. Let's keep this in the database. I'm compliant. There's peace of mind. Now let me worry about guards. Let me worry about cameras.
Yep.
The stuff that I need to worry about, I got to worry about compliance first, right?
That's right.
But it's so difficult. It's
convoluted.
It
makes the argument for the board of why they should fund additional cameras, additional access control systems, biometrics, and everything else. They're doing it because they're reducing liability for the corporation.
Which is funny, because back in the day, the argument was, you're increasing my liability by putting all, because once I put security in, now I got to maintain it, but now that argument's gone
because of OSHA, OSHA published a year ago their standard for workplace violence, the first one they've ever had, and they're actually making people pay through the nose if they violate that. And the first thing they have to do is this hazard risk assessment.
Right.
And so if OSHA goes in, or a joint commissioner or something, they go in and they find out that you haven't done a risk assessment, or HIPAA, same thing for IT.
Yeah.
They find out you haven't done it, and they find a lot. A disgruntled employee reports you, or whatever, or a client. They could go in. They find that an adequate risk assessment's been done. They won't find you. They'll just tell you, okay, let's do this, and they will not find you. If you don't have that, though, then they toss a book at you. They move OSHA regulators into your office, and you have to pay them to be there.
Yeah.
And then they go through everything that you have. You have to write a security plan, and we're going to review it for you. And then we're going to write a policy, and we're going to review that. And this is, we're going to monitor your training. And you're paying for all that. It's ridiculous.
And heaven forbid something happens.
Yes.
You can be personally, criminally liable for
That's
an injury
right.
in your workplace if you're the... I forgot which level. Is it the director, the manager, whatever the head guy is? You can go to jail because somebody got killed in your workplace. And I'm not just talking about active shooter. I'm talking about you slipped on a bar of soap, right?
Well, how about the McDonald's example from the McDonald's down in College Station, Texas last year, where there was a McDonald's, had a parking lot, a lot of kids congregated there over the weekends and the nights. They had a big fight. One kid got killed. His girlfriend tried to drive him to the hospital. They got hit by another car. They both died instantly. and they fined McDonald's $27 million because they looked at the police record and found out they'd never done an assessment of the risk to the parking lot. They hadn't added any lights over, and they'd had 120 complaints called in.
Wow.
They didn't have a security officer. They didn't have any lights. They were criminally liable, and they got fined, and they had to pay a $27 million
fine. Now, that's interesting because those are third-party customers and visitors to your property.
That's right.
And OSHA's saying, guess what? Same standard of care
that's
as your
right.
employer. Employee,
that's,
I mean.
That's right.
Very interesting.
And there was another one in Philadelphia where the lady got fired. This is really common in the workplace violence. She gets fired. She goes out to her car and gets her Glock out of the car to come in and kill the people who fired her. And the security staff went and hid in the boiler room. They locked themselves in the boiler room. And it was a big security company. They got a $46 million judgment they had to pay because for the two people who died, the families of the two people, and then the third one who was injured, because they didn't exercise due care. They had no training. They didn't notify management. They didn't tell the second entrance that she'd been fired. They were the ones who let her in the second time. So it's just the tiniest little thing of having the policy in place that whenever somebody's terminated, HR's there. If there's an issue, they tell somebody else. They didn't do any of that. And so they got the maximum fine. And the judge said in the court document, she said, if you're going to be a security officer, you have to actually act like a security officer. Can't go hide in the boiler room when things get rough, you know.
Yeah. Caroline, been a fascinating discussion. Once again, give us your website.
Thank you very much. It's www.riskandsecurityllc.com, or they can contact me personally at Caroline, C-A-R-O-L-I-N-E, at riskandsecurityllc.com. Thank you, Chuck.
A no-brainer, everybody. You got to get this. It's so easy to get this right.
That's
Caroline.
Right.
Thanks again for coming on
Thank
the show
you,
as usual.
See
Appreciate
you soon.
It. Thanks.